Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's something that's really important, that we set our faith and remember that we are already on the victory side. Yes. We pray from the victory side. We pray from a victory perspective. Okay, and that can look different in different ways, different kinds of prayer and intercessions and all kinds of things that can happen in prayer. But we never lose sight of the fact that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. And I'll be talking to you more about that tonight as we go. So, Lord, we thank You for this service tonight. We give it to You, and we have expectation of revelation of our place in You, and Lord, an utterance tonight for what You want said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. Holden, that was a great offering. Jonathan, you guys, that was great. So, Dee, don't go just yet. If everybody else can, I just need one moment with you, just for a moment. So, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. So that's okay. I don't need you to play. I'm going to tell you when in a minute. It's just, so pray at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. So there are a lot of different kinds of prayer, different ways to pray, different kinds of expressions of the Spirit. You may think you know very much about it, or you can name some things. I kind of was that way. And then I started reading my Bible and writing down. I thought, well, I'm going to write down all the different ways I see the Holy Spirit express Himself. And when I got to 200, I quit. So I was a bit surprised, but there are so many ways when you're really looking for it. And sometimes depending on the translation you're reading. So there are all kinds of prayer, but He said in there that whatever kind of prayer it is, it needs to be of the Spirit, by the Spirit. And in this particular case, He's not talking about just praying in other tongues, because, many cases that's what He's referencing. But if that was the case, then we should never utter another prayer unless it's in tongues. And of course, we know that's not the case. So He said all prayers need to be prayed by the Spirit and of the Spirit. And one of those kinds of prayers is the prayer of petition. Not something that we spend much time talking about in our conversations and lessons on prayer. Unless you're, of course, in my prayer class, and then you hear about it. But in 1 John chapter 5, because the word petition, while in some manner it can be just making a request, but that's the lightweight form of that word. And it really does mean more than that. But in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have granted to us. The Amplified says the request. King James says the petitions that we ask of Him. Well, what is a petition? Well, I love the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary definition. And if you don't have one of those, I recommend it. It's like reading your Bible. It's the words from 1828 English, which of course, you know, Noah Webster, right? But so many of the word examples and usage that he has in that dictionary come from the Bible. And he quotes scripture to give you reference. It's marvelous, marvelous. But this is what he said. In a general sense, it means a supplication or a prayer, but chiefly it means a solemn or formal supplication, a prayer addressed by a person to the Supreme Being for something needed or desired, a formal request or supplication, verbal or written, particularly a written supplication. It's formalized. And then it can also mean the paper that it's actually written on, and it means to make a supplication to a superior for a favor or for a right. So when things are in the Spirit and of the Spirit, they can take on a certain sense about them or nature. So while you can have an absolutely outstanding miracle, so miraculous that it's just beyond any question that it was the hand of God that did it. But there are some miracles, though, that whether they technically or naturally seem to measure up to the same, there's an anointing on that miracle that anytime anybody else sees it, something happens. Now, that can happen in a sermon. It can happen in all kinds of demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. So some things that are in the Spirit, of the Spirit, by the Spirit, become in itself a demonstration, but they have an eternal quality about them. In 2008, we were having here the Days of Refreshing. So we would have a week-long meeting, six nights, and we'd start off with Keith Moore and go 3 days, and then we'd have 3 days with Billy Brim. It was kind of like just two meetings back to back. It was really great. We did that for 10 years, wasn't it, George? Something like that. Well, in 2008, it was September, and just before the election. And because it was the election, we decided to add a service and to have a prayer time just for the election. So I believe that it was right after lunch, but it's daytime service. So I had prepared for that. Don't remember at all what I was preparing or what I was going to do. And I was going to lead it and just invited people from the morning service to come back after lunch. Were any of you maybe in that service you might remember? Here's a few. I think I saw you on the video today, Tracy. Anyway, so I was preparing for that during the break between the morning and the afternoon service. And I mean, it's all set, ready to go, but I was sitting in the backside speaker's room and something happened. Something happened. There was such a download from heaven. Now, a petition in its strongest sense of that is a word, it's a prayer that's not only formal, and it's not just formalized by the way that it sounds or the words that are used, but there's support. It's like a legal document. And with a legal document, you know, you'll have legal verbiage, and it puts it in context. So, for example, a legal document might say, whereas such and such and such and such, and whereas such and such and such, and it may have pages of whereases. And then it will come back and say, therefore, such and such, and therefore, and then there's the closing out of what we expect. Well, the Bible is full of petitions like that. Some of them simple, some of them lengthy. The prayer that Hannah prayed in the tabernacle, which is a very short prayer, but she prayed it and she said, Lord, please, I want you to recognize your handmaiden. I've served you, and I'm asking you to give me a son. And if you give me a son, I will see to it he serves you all the days of his life. Amen. And the priest thought she was drinking because the Spirit of the Lord was on her. And she said, oh, no, Lord, my Lord, no, I'm making this prayer request. He said, well, the Lord grant you your petition that you've asked of him. Then in verse 27, it says, after the baby Samuel was born, and she thanked the Lord for granting her her petition. But in the fourth chapter of Acts, we find that the disciples, some of them had been whisked away after the man got healed, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all them had gathered together and threatened them. And threatened them with all kinds of things. Don't preach in this name and so forth. So they went back to their company. And in their company, they began to lift a petition. It says they were of united voice and mind, meaning what? I believe they wrote it down. I believe they had written down some things in this prayer. They were used to meeting together anyway. We know they had done that between Jesus' ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I believe they wrote it down because they said it with one voice. So they're all saying this together. And you find that through that prayer, they begin to declare the scripture. Lord, your word says by your servant David, and they quote the scriptures. And then your word says, and it says by the scriptures. And now, Lord, because they did this, which was a fulfillment of your scriptures. And so, Lord, we are asking you now. So we had whereas, whereas, whereas. Therefore, we are asking you that you move with signs and wonders and heal through the name of your holy child, Jesus. And he did. He did. It was dramatic, dramatic outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a result of that petition. So this is the really abbreviated version of the lesson on petition. So I had prepared back here, but this moment was not something I had spent time preparing. I had been thinking on some things, but some of the research for a petition, sometimes it's study, it's looking up scriptures, it's laying it out. But sometimes things can come as a download from the Lord because you've already studied or because something you already know. And it just comes to you. And that happened. It happened so powerfully that I was near overcome with it. So I came out and we had this service in praying over the election. So this particular service had such a presence on it that every time I've gone, I've played it for some of my classes because of the way that it was such an example of petition, the way it all came out. But every time, I keep thinking that it's not going to do me this way this time, but every time I've seen it, it just draws me back in to that place of prayer. Just takes me right back into it. And so I played it yesterday for my class at school. Because we were teaching on petition. And I watched it and it just took me back again. I said, Lord, I think that should be our service. Seems you're leading me that way. Now, I taught a while, and I trust you'll be able to find it, follow it. It's very much in the spirit as I taught. But then it gets over into the place of prayer. And the prayer, much of it is written out, which I had quickly done, written prayer. And you'll see it. And as we go through that, I want you to engage in it. Don't just listen. Really, set your faith for this. And pray in the spirit. Pray with the anointing that's on this prayer. But then at the end of it, towards the end of the prayer time, Wayne Stevens had been playing, and he played through the whole service. Normally, I'm not big on that, but he did, and I could see that it was the Lord. But towards the end, and he played gently. There were pauses in there. We wasn't playing much. But at the end of the prayer, and I paused, and he would hit a B flat. Can you give it to me clean? Just staccato, just a B, not a chord, just a note, single note. Yeah. So you kind of have to listen for it because, you know, audio's not thinking, bring this up where everybody can hear it. Nobody was. So thanks, Dee. So he would play in that note, and he'd hit the note and hit it again, and he'd play a little bit. A little bit later, he'd come back and hit that note. And it was off and on. And then there was a fairly lengthy time of where I was just praying softly. We edited some of that out just for time's sake. But then there was a prophecy. And there was a prophecy about freedom and about liberty. I want you to pay attention as we come to the close of the prayer and before the prophecy, and be listening for that note. I want you to pick up on it. And I'll tell you something at the end of the service tonight about that note. But listen to what we pray. Listen to the prophecy and what it says, and be amazed at how eternal the things of the Spirit are. Okay? And I firmly believe that what we prayed 12 years ago began to work. Not everything happens overnight, you understand. When God's working with people and governments and lives and changing nations of people, He's working. He's working. And sometimes somebody said, you know, when you mop the floor, sometimes it looks dirtier before it's all clean, because everything's coming to the surface. Okay? So guys, let's roll that video. Thanks, Steve.
I want you to listen very closely. I believe what we have to do today is very important. It's a challenge for us. We are a most unusual creature in that we are born of heaven and yet we abide in the earth. And it's a wonderful place that we hold. It's a wonderful place in God that He has given us. But we are challenged to use our faith so that we can operate from heaven while we are in the earth. And so we have to be both heavenly aware and earthly aware at the same time. But we always want our heavenly awareness to always take precedence over and to be greater than our earthly awareness. So as we pray today, we want to have this idea in our mind that we have been raised to be seated with Him in heavenly places, and that we have been exalted with Him and given the name which is above every name. And yet, from that position of authority, we choose, because of our connection here with this earth, because of the people here on this earth, God has done the nations, God has done the world a great favor, not just in giving them Jesus, but in giving them us, so that even though we are seated with Him in heavenly places, yet we can on this earth take up the cause of men, and with the authority of the kings and priests that He has made us to be, we can lift up to Him the plight and the despair and the trouble of all mankind. And God has chosen to hear us, not on the basis of a beggar, not on the basis of the weakness and the frailty of men, but on the basis of the lordship of Jesus and on the basis of authority that He has imparted to us through His name. What a wonderful privilege to come into the courts of the Most High. So today we are coming to Him with all due reverence, with all the understanding, and to embrace all the scope of His, as much as our minds and our faith can take us, the scope of His Godness, His creator of the universe position. And we approach Him through faith. Can I have a tissue? I think there's one right there. Praise the Lord. Now in Philippians this morning, thanks. Scripture you're familiar with. It says, don't have anxiety about anything. And you know it takes a lot of faith to do that these days. It's so in our atmosphere and so in our world. You can't turn on the TV. You don't even have to have television. I think you just get it because it's in the atmosphere, the concern, the tension, this building, the strife, the pull, no clarity and no apparent winner. And I heard one man say that there's even... the way the thing is playing out, that there are over 10,000 lawyers perched and ready to go to battle over this election, just from one party alone. 10,000. And that if there's not a clear-cut winner in this election, that it can go to the courts, and for the first time in our history, the decision can be taken out of the hands of the people into the courts for months. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your wants known to God. We take that scripture so often, and we've learned to pray with thanksgiving in our hearts and even begin our prayers with, God, I thank You that. But there is a time for a depth of petition, to where we formally take a place. God has made a way so that we can enter into His courts. His courts. How many of you have ever been to court for something? There's just something about it, isn't there? Even a small thing. Maybe a ticket or some little something. Or maybe someone's life was on the line. Maybe your future, maybe your financial future was on the line. And the austerity of the court. And this person, who's just a person, but sitting up on the bench with a gavel in their hand, has a right to determine where your future goes. For some, whether they live or whether they die. Hallelujah. And so often it is left up to the skill of the lawyer, the skill and the presentation, the formality, the essence of the case and how it's laid out before the judge and the jury. We find in Daniel that the Bible says that there are watchers in heaven and that judgments are made by the judge and by the watchers who are in heaven. And that God would judge who is to be raised up and who is to be put down, but the judgments are decreed by those who watch, both in heaven and in earth. When you consider all that's at stake and you know you're coming into the courts of God, creator of the universe, and you really, really taste what that's all about, there's an awesomeness that comes, and in a sense of fear, of reverence, and an intimidation, an awareness of just what's at stake and what you don't know, and how well can you lay this out? How well can you put your case together, and how carefully and how perfectly you want this to be, because so much is at stake. But God in His wisdom, God in His foresight, God in His ability, God in His slyness, sent the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "Here is your counselor." And we know from the scriptures that He knows all the thoughts and the mind of God. You know, with the cases, the court cases that we have been engaged in over the years, I noticed that one of the things the lawyers want to do the most is be able to get into the mind of the judge. What will that judge think? You need to say it this way. You need to say it that way. Oh, we have favor if we present it like this. This will look good to the judge. And we have a counselor who knows the thoughts and the purposes, the height, the depth, and can lead us even to the bottomless things of God, so that we might know His thoughts and His purpose and His intent, so that even in our imperfections, even in all that we don't know, He knows all and can put words in our mouths and shroud us in His presence. And we come in Jesus' name, which is the very name of the Father Himself. And even in our imperfections, we can present a perfect case. We can present a perfect plea. We can present a perfect cause that is perfectly in line with His perfect will, so that He may perfectly execute His perfect plan. Oh, what a plan. And oh, what a planner. So this morning, we're going to present a petition to the Lord. And as Brother Keith often says, are you in faith with me? I want you to engage in what we're saying and what we're doing with your faith. pray in tongues. Set your heart and your mind to listen for every word. And as you listen, don't passively listen, but aggressively agree. Aggressively sign your name to this petition with your faith. And the basis on which the Lord has given me to come to Him is on the basis and the righteousness of government, and it's part in His plan. And to put that in our minds, I just want to read to you a couple of things here about the Mayflower Compact. So that as we pray, the spirit in which the first government of this land was established can rise up in you, and you can make a faith connection with it. The Mayflower Compact is a written agreement composed by the consensus of the new settlers arriving at New Plymouth in November of 1620. They traveled across the ocean on the Mayflower, which was anchored in what is now Provincetown near Cape Cod, Massachusetts. It was drawn up with fair and equal laws for the general good of the settlement and with the will of the majority. The Mayflower's passengers knew that the New World's earlier settlers had failed due to a lack of government. Government has always been God's idea. All 41 of the adult male members on the Mayflower signed the compact. Being the first written laws of the new land, the compact determined authority within the settlement and was the observed until 1691. This established that the colony, mostly persecuted separatists or Puritans, was to be free of English law. It was devised to be set up a government from within themselves and was written by those who were to be governed. So they wanted to be free from one law, but established under another. Isn't that the picture of our redemption? Free from one law, but established under another. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and of one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforestated. Furtherance of what? God. And by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most need and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have heretofore subscribed our names at Cape Cod the 11th of November in the reign of our sovereign Lord, King James of England, France, Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th Anno Domini. So what were they saying? For the purpose of God, we assemble ourselves together and agree to obey the laws that are we deem to be necessary for order and for compliance, for the common good, and for the purpose and the advancement, it says, of the Christian faith. That was their purpose. Hallelujah. I think I'll come down here now. Oh Lord, your word says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And by rights of creation, Lord, this nation belongs to you, for surely you have created this America. You created the nations, and you had a plan before the foundation of the world for each one. This nation did not come from men. It came from you. You put the seed of this nation in men's hearts even before they knew. You brought to this land a first nation of people. And some say among them, even one of the lost tribes of the Jews. Within Christopher Columbus and Queen Isabel, even while they persecuted your people, the Jews at home, you used them to seek others that they could share the gospel with. You put the seed of freedom in the hearts of the Puritans, freedom to serve you according to your word and by your spirit. Not a freedom without structure or order or government, but a new idea of government. Government created for the purpose of serving God and His plan and one another. You had brought them through persecution and oppression from other men. And in spite of all the enemy's obstacles, you set them at the door of this great land. And still, Lord, much trouble awaited them. They faced hardships of great enormity. And Lord, death came to every one of their doors. Yet, you brought them through. You gave them many sons. And with the same seed of this nation in their hearts, and for 200 years, that seed grew. And like a mighty oak seeking its roots deep, they grew and they grew. Then in 1770, the oppressor arose again to stop the very lifeblood of your great plan. He thought he could control what was beginning to shine for your glory. He wanted for himself this land of plenty. He wanted the fruits of righteousness to be his own. He wanted the honor you had planned for this nation to be his own. But in your great wisdom, you let him raise his head. You let him raise his cruel hand. You let him raise his head so that you might cut it off. And the more he squeezed your righteous people, the more the seed began to flourish. And to his shock, to his dismay, and finally to his defeat, you raised up an army ready to defend all you had put in their hearts to do and to be. Pulpits across this land drew the sword of your word and called upon men in the name of the Lord to take up the righteous cause of America. Together they prayed and they sought your direction, Lord. And under the pen of Thomas Jefferson, they declared their independence from all sovereigns except you. And then they took up their arms and they went to battle. And Lord, many, oh, so many laid down their all, their homes, their lands, their sons, their fortunes, their futures. They laid down their all so that they might have your all. And that their sons and their daughters could freely fulfill your destiny for their lives. And Lord, in your goodness, you so faithfully, you so miraculously, and you so victoriously brought them through. And though they were wearied from great battles and great losses at great cost, and they faced the daunting task of a massive recovery, your hope, your vision, and your plan burned stronger in them than it ever had before. And you called them. You called them from all quarters. You called them together to Philadelphia a city named for brotherly love. And they left their homes again, Lord. They left their families again. For days and weeks and months at a time they came. And they pressed, Lord, they pressed. They pressed hard to discover your purpose. They pressed hard to know your plan for this new nation. And on their bended knee, they gathered together to seek you. And they laid out your word before you. And by your spirit, you began to speak. And through this one, and through that one, and through debate, and through discussion, and through prayer, until it all came together as the constitution of this great land. A constitution that was born from the Spirit and born from your word and given through the hearts and minds of men who were seeking to know your will and your way. That they would not serve under any man, but to serve under you, Lord, in service to your purpose and your plan for all men to know the freedom of the gospel. And fervently they sought to establish a land, a home, a base, a foundation from which men and women could seek you freely and grow in prosperity, to pursue prosperity, all for the increase of your kingdom. And now, O Lord, you who brought this government time and again through trouble, you have brought this great people, you have brought this great land through oppression, through depression, through the darkness of deceptions, of humanism, of atheism. You have brought this land and this people through strife, through divisions, through horrors of war abroad and at home. You brought us through when it looked like so many had turned their back on you, but on the basis of your word that lives in the words of our Constitution, because your word never fails. Because it is an eternal word. Because it is an eternal covenant. And because you have an eternal plan. It is for the benefit of all men that you brought this nation through. And that you gave men words to put on paper that we could live by. And you laid it out, Lord, so that even those that don't know you could live by it. Under the hand of freedom and liberty and justice for all, and not the hand of oppression and iron rule, and not for the gain of a few, but for the gain of all. To you, O Lord, our God. You're so gracious, Lord, and that you are God even over those that don't know you, and even those that don't want you. We remind you of that, Lord, and that these men and women laid down their lives. They laid down their all. We look to you again on the basis of the blood of Jesus, who died that your plan would not be thwarted, that your purpose would not come to an end. But we also come to you on the basis of the blood of our forefathers who died for that same reason. For the same reason, Lord. And just as you were faithful to Jesus and not leave his soul in hell, we ask, Lord, that this nation too would be raised, and that you would not leave the soul of this nation in hell, but that our very soul would be raised up to the glory of God. And that the heart of this people would be lifted to the glory of God. And not only for our own selves, O Lord, but for the world to know. For we are still the beacon and the light of the gospel. And your words are still true. They are true in this covenant of faith that you have given us, and they are true within our constitution because it was born from your heart. So raise this nation again, O Lord. Bring her up again, Lord. Bring up her government again, Lord. As a body politic, to perpetuate the Christian faith. And no matter what some men might say, it is impossible. No matter what some men might try to do or what some lower court might declare, we, O Lord, who have been given charge over this nation in your courts, declare that we are one nation under God, and we are indivisible. We are indivisible from you. We are indivisible from your purpose. We are indivisible from your plan. We are indivisible from all that you have set for this nation and this body of people to do in the kingdom of God and for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. That all men might see and know the love of God. And on the basis of that, O Lord, we bring our plea before you. We set our case before you. We offer it in the name of Jesus, guaranteed by the blood of Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and laid out before you as your own people. To say that you, because you are righteous, and because you will not let your word fall to the ground, and because you are faithful to those who have sold their lives for you, we fully expect the course of this nation to be aligned with your plan, with your idea, with your thought, with your ways, and that, oh God, you would sweep this nation up in your arms and again draw her to you. Draw her to you, oh Lord. Draw your people to you. In a great sweeping across this nation, a great sweeping, O Lord, I ask it of you. I require it of you. I demand it of heaven. And for these, Lord, from the highest office of this land, to its most humble, we ask you, we open the door, we request of you to place in each seat whether it be the seat of government, the seat of legislation, the seat of judgment, We ask, Lord, that you would raise up your choice and that you would raise up men as you see fit and put others down as you would know. And we ask, Lord, for righteousness to prevail. We ask for the seed of righteousness from which this nation was born. That, Lord, it would not die, but it would continue to bear fruit for all men. For all men. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Harota sisa sashti. There's a bell that is tolling. And it seems distant in the land. But the angels of God hear it ring. And the people of God whose ears are open to his sounds can hear that it rings again. And it is again the sound of liberty. And it is again the sound of freedom. And it is again the sound of the righteous arising to take up her cause. But the freedom that it rings and the freedom that it tolls and the freedom that it declares goes beyond the freedom of an earthly government and an earthly politic. But it is the sound of heaven. It is the sound of the kingdom of God beginning to rise in all of the earth. And the sounds of heaven, the bells that begin to ring, will begin to ring and ring and ring until the fullness of God's plan, into the fullness of his idea of the seat of heaven, the throne of God, be placed directly among the living, that Jesus would rule. Hallelujah. So you do well to look to his authority. You do well to look to his leadership. You look well to look to his lordship. For indeed, the government is upon his shoulders. And as you by faith draw upon him as the Lord of all, his lordship will be continue to manifest in this land through every office of the land. Hallelujah. 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 So listen. Listen. Despite all the sounds around, despite the clamor, despite the sounds even of war, listen. For there is a bell that is ringing. It is the bell. It is the bell of the Spirit. The bell of liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, by faith, we release our faith. And we believe that that anointing, Lord, upon whom you choose for it to rest, would grow and increase and increase and increase. And that by that anointing, there would be great favor, great wisdom, great skill, great knowledge, great ability. And that by that anointing, even as you separated King David from among all his brethren, you would separate the one of your choosing and call them out, call him out from among the rest, and that the anointing would be evident, and that the anointing, Lord, to slay the giant, to bring prosperity, and to establish the throne of God among your people, hallelujah, would be evident and increased, and would grow exponentially, not for the sake of himself, Lord, but for the sake of your people. Lord, for it is on behalf of the people that we pray for the leaders of this nation. Hallelujah. And that your presence and your hand would be evidenced, and that by the Spirit of God, the people of this nation and the hunger in their heart for you would grow, that their eyes would see, their ears would hear, their hearts will understand, and they shall desire you. For it is by design, O Lord, of this nation, in Jesus' name. And you have something we could close out with? Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I intended to pull for you a clip tonight that I just forgot. But if you will go home or on your phone tonight, look up President of, how does it word that, George, is President Trump claims Jesus more famous than he is. I think it's the way it says. You can, I typed in President Trump calls on the name of Jesus. It's what I put in. And Spencer, I don't know if you guys can grab that very quickly. Can they, is that a big deal, Gene, to grab that and pull it YouTube? See if you can do it. Y'all have got just a minute. We'll see if they can pull it up. It only lasts a minute. It lasts 1 minute. But in Greenville, North Carolina, just a few days ago, hallelujah, this about took me to, it just about buckled my knees when I heard it this morning. You're pulling it. Very good. Praise the Lord. So we'll show it to you. You know, there's been so many prophecies that there would be a president who would unashamedly praise the Lord, even on the balcony of the White House, and lift his hands, and a spirit-filled president. And I'm seeing great evidence of that. Yeah, is he got some room to grow in his expressions of his Christian walk? Yeah, but let me see the hand of somebody in here that doesn't. And I'd like to see the hand of somebody in here that could live under the pressure that that man lives under and walk out with a smile on your face and lift your hand and say, I call it on the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Got it? Okay, lights down. Let's play it.
Masks, no masks, everything. You can do all you want, but you know, you still need help from the boss. We need help from the boss. That's what happened. We need help. All right? We need help. It's all right to say. Now, they'll criticize me for that. How dare he say that? How dare he say that? No, I'll say it. I'll say it. I'll say it. Somebody said to me the other day, you're the most famous person in the world by far. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. They said, yes, you are. I said, no. They said, who's more famous? I said, Jesus Christ. I'm not taking any chances. I'm not going to have an argument. Hey, I'm not having any arguments. Jesus Christ. I'm not going to take any chances. I'll give it, I guarantee. And let me look up and I'll say, and it's not even
Jesus, praise the Lord. Well, that was kind of a different thing to do tonight, a little bit, but I don't, it still gets me. Did you say that? So it'll be on, I guess we'll be able to pull it up, Gene, just like any of the other, it's on the archive. But my goodness, well, who knew that day with a handful of people in here that day that prayer would be still alive and still working. It's still working. It's 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 working. Hallelujah. It's working. It's working. It's working. Working in Honolulu, it's working in Anchorage, praise Jesus. It's working in Houston, it's working in Austin, bless the Lord. I said it's working in Austin, it's working in Austin, it's working in Austin, it's working in Austin, it's working in Sioux Falls, praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know all the other places. You know all the other places. Lord, every swing state is swinging towards you. Every swing state is swinging towards you, sir. It's swinging towards you. It's swinging towards you. It's swinging towards you, glory to God. Every swing state is swinging towards you. Hallelujah. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Well, before you go tonight, you have to on purpose remember, God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is